Coming to you live from the Cross Country Mortgage Campus in Berea, Ohio. This is Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet. Now live in Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland. Here are your hosts, Bo Bishop and Nathan Zagura.
All right, let's do it live on a Friday edition of Cleveland Browns Daily. Merely Bo, the great Z. How you living, buddy?
I'm good, man. I obviously had like a little bit better weather. I'm thrilled to see, though, our first conference call happening at the table outside the studio, the new table outside the studio. We got some business being transacted right now.
Look at that.
Which is exciting.
So, oh, yeah, that is a conference call. There is no one else at the desk.
No one else at the desk.
Well, I'd be honest with you.
It's an interesting place for a conference call because you're –
So that's
You're
where I was going.
Right out in the open.
Not a lot of privacy to that conference call. You're having
None.
A conference. So for those unfamiliar, I don't know, this be like having a conference call in the middle of the street.
Yes.
The main thoroughfare of the
It'd
building.
Be like if you stepped outside of your home and then set up on the sidewalk of your neighborhood.
Yeah.
If your neighborhood had sidewalks.
That's right.
And then you just sat at a table and had a call.
Start chopping it up.
Yeah. It's kind of unbelievable, actually, now that the more that I
observe. I request, I mean, I respect the game.
I do.
To do it.
Just like
you just would assume that everybody would, it's awkward, like you're walking by and you're.
He's locked in, though.
He's locked
he
in.
He is dialed.
Yeah.
Does one have to reserve that table?
I don't know.
For those situations?
Sure, I feel like you should be.
I just want to know for future
You should
reference.
Be in charge of that table.
You know, like in the old days, they had like feudal lords.
Yeah, that's your.
And you have areas that you were in
part
charge
of.
That's
fiefdom.
That's your fiefdom. I think you're the feudal lord of that fiefdom. Yeah. Like if anyone wants to have a conference call on that, they got to come through you.
There's a tax.
They got to go to your
there's
serfs
a,
first.
There's a tax
the
serfs.
The serfs first.
Those two. Yeah. Udo and Ocho are your serfs.
Yeah.
They got to go through them. Then they get to you. That's the way that goes. This is a good fiefdom for you, Gibby. You have this,
fiefdom.
And then you're into there. I like it. He's locked in.
I mean, he's so locked in.
I can't.
It's the damnedest thing, Gibby.
It really is. I mean, like, in the main thoroughfare of our office, it's as if they just set up a table.
That's
with
right.
A square of carpet, four
yep.
chairs, but right in the middle, and that's where he is having a conference call.
I would say is this the busiest corner? Like if we were doing like busiest corner in the building, is it that one or is it the one down
we've
there?
We've had since
this is probably the second busiest. The one
probably
down, run,
down there
the run going
the
down
cafe.
The stairs is probably the most busy. This would be
but,
number two.
I mean, we've had since we started talking about this 2 minutes ago, six people have walked by.
Yeah.
The conference call.
And this is a Friday, which is a slow day.
Yeah, there's nobody here.
No, that's true. There is
nobody.
I'm looking around.
When I went to go get my food, I was like, where is everybody?
Yep. And by 3 o'clock, when we get off the air, we will be the people.
We're always here working.
That's right. Always working. Putting in our work, kids.
Always doing our things.
I know we have this as a note later, but I wanted to get it to it now. And because I was thinking about this last night. Those who know regularly, who listen regularly, know that I am against NFL uniforms using the color black for the sake of using the color black. It's a cheat code, is the way that I felt on it. I think the Lions crushed it.
It's beautiful. Of course, black and blue is beautiful.
It's crushed. It's crushed. It is. I think what makes it is the blue helmet.
I'm curious to see what that actually looks like in a game on TV. But it's beautiful. I agree with you completely.
I mean, that is awesome.
I had, by the
really
way,
cool.
a black Roy Williams in my jersey closet at one point. So
I'd like
at least
to see
it was
that
in
someday.
Their lineage before team started going to black as a cheat code. You know what I mean? Like the Lions were
they were
one
of the
early,
first to go black cheat code.
And they also had, if you remember though, they have the outline of the Lion
in those days.
It was black on the helmet.
Yeah, when they came out of the Barry era, they went into that, they added the black into the jerseys.
Right.
That would have been late 90s, early 2000s. And yes, absolutely. They were among the first to put black into the uniform.
It's but beautiful.
I think furthermore, what they did with theirs, very similar to what we did with ours, is pretty damn flawless. So they played the hits. They went back to Honolulu blue. They're wearing the block numbers, the Barry era look. They look a modern version, much as ours is kind of a little modern version of the old uniform. So a modern version of the old uniform is the home uniform.
Yep.
Their away uniform, the only thing is that they showed them in blue pants, but theoretically they could wear them with gray pants too because they have those.
Yep.
The away uniform is great. The only thing they added, which I never like, is they put Detroit on the front of it, and then they always act like it's a big deal. Like in the Nike release, it was like, for the first time, we put Detroit on the front of the uniform. Okay, great.
Great.
Fantastic. Who cares? Nobody cares. Stupid. Take it off. Then they do the one that I think of, the Thanksgiving game with Barry. So they have the old school one, the throwback one, the plain silver hat, the silver pants.
Yep.
No, nothing. That. So they kept that. So they have those three, and then they went one that's kind of a change of pace, big change of pace in terms of it being all black. And it's a huge upgrade from the all gray that they wore last year. I think it's kind of if you're launching a rebrand, I think they did exactly. I think they gave everybody what they want.
So I love them. I think on the pants, I would have liked a stripe on the blue or the gray pant.
I agree.
Other than that, pretty flawless. I do think though, and I don't know if you saw this one that they posted on their own site as a possible as well, which is the black jersey. Like, that is, it's unbelievable. The black over black is great, but then they had a picture over here.
There was one I saw that
was Jahmyr Gibbs in a black over blue.
I saw that.
Which I don't like as much. That looks like an XFL jersey to me, or a uniform to me.
I'd have to see it. I have to see the black, because I did see one yesterday that was black over blue from the front, and I thought it looked pretty good. I mean, that's amazing.
Yeah, that's perfect. Those are the Detroit Lions. And they went back to the blue face mask away from the gray.
Yes.
That's
a
big win.
Huge. And they got the blue right. They went back to Honolulu blue, which is their color, and so that looks great.
Yeah.
But I think the nitpicks here or there, but overall that's an A-plus grade. I mean, like
look how much better the helmet looks.
Yeah, it's not close.
Not close at all.
So
I mean, and comparing these two?
Yeah, come on. I think we launched the same time the Chargers, and the Chargers got so much credit because they finally used powder blue.
Yeah.
Like, people have been, for those who don't know, people have wanted the Chargers to wear powder blue for 25 years. They would only wear it in a throwback case. They wanted them to be their primaries because the Spanos family, they changed the uniforms to navy when they bought it.
Yep.
So they didn't like the powder blue.
Nope.
Okay, so it wasn't until they moved to L.A., got the new stadium, that they're like, okay, yeah, the powder blue is pretty great. That's going to be our primary.
Glorious.
So they did a modernization of an iconic look. We did that. Really, the Bengals did it. The Bengals did a good job with theirs, too, when they redid theirs. They were very solid. And what I think you want is, and I think, so that's why I think what the Lions did here was really good, because you got a mix of, this is what the Lions should look like. And yet, here's two games where we'll have a little fun a year.
Where we'll look really cool.
And on that, two games out of the year where we're going to look a little fun or look cool or whatever, the kids will like it. On those two games, you got to hit that one.
Yes.
Because that can be a disaster, and I think it's going to be a disaster with Houston.
There's no doubt.
But it's
– That
it's,
leak is
– That leak is brutal.
That's a fail.
Yeah, it is. But the Lions crushed it.
Yeah. They're great. And those black uniforms are great, and I know – Dan Campbell wanted them back, and they said, well, you got to make the playoffs if you want them back. And guess what? They did last year, and here they are. And they are awesome. That should be the model. Your base home and away should be your classic best stuff. Then you should have one really cool throwback, and then you should have one kind of innovative or something different. So for the Browns, you already have three of those four. What we don't have is kind of the innovative or something different for a one-off that would be akin to their black. We don't know what that would necessarily look like, but we've got the, you know, traditional home, traditional road. We've got the throwback with the white helmet.
Yep.
And then there's room, obviously, for one more.
So just so I have this right, there's a Denver leak, there's a Houston leak. All of this is coming from Antonio Brown's. Do I have that right? That he's linking this?
I mean, he's trying.
Antonio Brown's network.
The
whatever.
CTESPN, that's his network.
That's his network?
Yeah.
I've never even heard of that.
That's not real.
So they...
CTE...
Oh, I know. I understand. But, like, that's where this stuff is leaking. So there's images of the Texans. There's images of the Denver Broncos as well. being leaked out there. Hmm. Pretty wild.
Pretty wild indeed.
What's with all the leaks?
It's
just too many people have access to it, and it's too easy.
They're making the reveals too elaborate. You got too many people involved. You got teams, you got players, you've got your own people with cameras, and you're going to have social media that's got to have it ready to go, and then you want it to be sold right away at market. So you have all of these factors, and so with all of those factors comes possibility for it getting out.
I guess.
Truly. Hey, I mean, you remember. Like,
we haven't seen leaks like this. We didn't see leaks like this last year. Like, so, I feel like every day it's like, hey, this is popping up. Oh, this is popping up. And I just, I.
So, yeah, and it seems like Houston blew it even more.
At least Houston ones, if that's real.
Yeah, so apparently they are not going to have an H-Town blue. They're not going to go with a light blue.
No.
No, the H-Town blue is just
actually
the
navy
outline,
blue with just a tiny bit of
outline of the numbers.
Well, and it looked like the
and
owner
the helmet,
like, took a picture with his dog.
Yeah, that's
outside,
fact.
And he was wearing a hat. He was wearing it.
Boy, that's they are going to have people pissed off down there if they didn't do a light blue. Do you still think that is because the Oilers have some sort of jurisdiction over the color light blue in regard to Houston?
They can't.
Why
possibly.
Would they not? How can you own every shade of blue?
They can't. The blue's incorporated. It's in
but
the jersey.
But it's not the jersey color.
Or the helmet color.
Or the helmet color.
Or anything.
Or anything. It's yeah. trim.
It's ridiculous.
Honestly, they look like the Titans.
These are terrible.
They look like the Titans, primarily navy blue, a little bit of light blue and red.
I don't think those Broncos ones are very great either.
No, I think they botched it too. Here's the problem. So it looks like Houston's going to get an F, which isn't shocking.
F, yeah.
But I think Denver's going to get a D, and I think the only thing that's going to save it is the fact that, much like Atlanta, they have the perfect uniform in the catalog. So they will have
yes.
the Elway uniform and the helmet, and all their fans will say, just wear that.
Yep.
And 4 years from now, they'll come out with a new uniform set, and they'll just wear that.
Keep that, yeah. Yep.
Which is the same thing that's going to happen with Atlanta. Same thing. They're just going to wear the one. They'll wear the good one.
Because they're great.
Because they're great.
Their other stuff's fine. The gradient's terrible, but the all black and the all white are both fine.
Yeah.
They're not as good. And the throwback, you can wear the throwback with the red helmet. You can
yeah,
wear the
both.
Throwback with the black helmet. And I happen to like their old logo better than their new logo anyway, the Falcon. The old Falcon
yeah,
is better than
it was,
the new Falcon.
Which was the 2D Falcon. Just yep. Yeah.
Kind of like a bigger wing, and it was just yeah. black and
white?
Gray, right? Weren't those
white
little gray
or gray? I can't remember.
Little things in there. But that was, let's see. Original.
Yeah, it was just, yeah, it was better. Just, yeah, way better.
Yeah, right.
Much better.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess that is white. Is it white or is it gray? I don't know. Looks white.
It doesn't matter. Pretty similar.
And then, yeah, compared to this new one, it's terrible.
Terrible. Come on now.
Gotta have a good looking logo. I mean, it's, yeah, that stuff seems pretty easy to me that's where you go with these things. A lot of it is just flat out better than what you currently have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sometimes innovation for the sake of innovation, like,
there it is.
Is not necessary. I think we've hit it. Your best uniform ever is your home and your road.
Yep.
You can have one if it's a throwback that isn't represented in your best ever, one of those, and then one where you go ahead and do something a little
get
bit
fun, get nuts,
wild.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like I would if the Falcons uniform closet was the Deion Sanders home and road
yep.
that you could wear with either the
yep.
red or black lid. An alternate could be like maybe go back to the Steve Barkowski one because the numbers were a little different.
Mm-hmm. The red.
With the red yeah. and like Gerald Riggs. And then the funky one, even if they did the gradient as the fourth funky,
yeah,
it's fine.
It's fine.
Because it's fourth and it's supposed to be a little bit wild. And okay, yeah. so it didn't work, so we'll try something new in five
yeah.
years for the fourth one.
Yeah, we can bury it.
Yeah.
We don't have to wear it every year because it's a
no,
fourth uniform.
These are the.
But the primaries need to look the primary.
Yeah.
And that's where I think Denver's going to blow it. Looks like Houston absolutely blew it. As big as can be.
The crazy thing is that for what I would consider to be a very reasonable fee, we could have the entire NFL
fitted.
We could
sort it out, dude. In short
some
order.
Would be pretty tough. Some of them would be pretty tough to decide what you wanted to be. What would the true classic would be?
All right, without think, I mean, Buffalo, I wouldn't change anything. They're good.
Of what they currently have?
Yeah, I like what they currently have. And then I'd have the Kellys as the alternate.
Red, yeah.
I'd have the Kellys as the alternate throwback. Yeah. They could have the Kellys as the alternate. They could have two. They could have that one, and then they could have the one with the standing bison. That's just like way back.
The old school helmet.
Like Jack Kemp.
Yep, yep.
That
I
era.
Like that.
Dolphins, you wear Merino.
You wear the Merinos. Yep.
Patriots.
See, Patriots.
That's tough because.
Patriots, I think you wear.
Brady?
You've got to wear the Bradys. But then you have to, the Steve Grogan.
Pat the Patriot.
Pat the Patriot era has got to be. Like, those are your four uniforms. Two of Brady and two of Pat the Patriot, and that's it.
The problem for them is that all of their success came in Brady, so you have to have the Brady as the primary.
Yeah.
But you're, ideally,
you
the Pat the Patriots won.
You don't need the Bledsoes at all.
You do not need that at all, no. Jets, I'd go Namath. And then I'd have Sack Exchange as the alternate.
Fine. And then they can have a cool all-black one.
Like, for sure. That's fine. Yeah. Ravens, theirs really have not changed much.
And they're
very minimally.
So with the Ravens, what I would do is get rid of the, like, that one that was gold. The purple's okay, but that would be more of a one-off. To me, their classic is the black over black at home or white over black on the road, or you could do purple over black at home.
Yeah. I actually like purple over white more than purple over black.
Purple over white.
For them.
Yeah.
But they should be in black.
Yes.
Head to toe. They're a Raven. Bengals are fine where they are.
Yeah, and their whiteouts are great.
Those are great. We're great. Steelers are great. You don't do anything. Don't need to do anything there. Houston, we've been over.
Houston's, yeah.
That's a whole mess.
Colts, I think, are in a good spot because I think you go back to the Peyton Mannings. Then you have the fun ones where the horseshoes were on the back of the helmet and that like, kind of beautiful dark blue helmet that they wore.
Yep.
And then you have those the Indy Knights ones, which are fine.
That's fine. Jacksonville should wear the Bocellis.
Jacksonville actually has a lot that they can work with that's not bad.
Yeah. What they're wearing now is not great, though.
Good.
It's so plain.
Yeah, agreed.
Titans are a mess, too, really, when you think about
it. But if I'm the Titans, if I'm being that much of a crud and I'm going to go ahead and claim those colors, that's...
Wear it.
Those are going to be my colors as the Titans.
The Eddie George, Steve McNair.
Eddie George, exactly.
Broncos should wear Elway, obviously. Chiefs really haven't changed.
No, they're good.
Raiders, same. That's a perfect uniform.
There are versions, though, like you could throw that old back throwback where I'm pretty sure it's like silver numbers on the white jersey.
Yes.
And then the white.
White's in the logo.
In the logo.
That's a clean.
And that's
so they can do
one.
That. Yeah.
So, but they have those already.
You could.
But
you could for them, you could wear a black helmet, too.
You could.
If you wanted
which
to.
Would be pretty
which
cool.
Would be cool. Chargers, you're good.
Good.
Cowboys, good.
Yeah.
They got it all. Giants. When you think of the iconic Giants, is it the... So what they've been wearing is a recreation of their, like, Frank Giffords. But then they also had that LT era Giants.
Yeah, oh, that's the best. When they wore those, they wore those last year, right? Or the last couple of years, they brought those back.
Yeah.
Beautiful. That navy blue is better than the other blue. The helmet is it's the white face mask.
So
it's beautiful.
Yeah, the jerseys are a brighter blue. The helmet's a navy blue on those.
The jerseys are brighter than the helmet, yes, but they're more – it's a darker blue than I think they're, like, Eli Manning blue.
I think that's probably right, yeah. Eagles, that's easy. That's Randall Cunningham. Although they wore like a 60s throwback when Vic was there that is unreal, like a Bednarik throwback.
So that's their throwback.
It's
easy.
Stunning.
But
the Kelly green.
The true Kelly green.
They're kind of like the Patriots, though, too, where their most success happened in the ones they're in now. They won a Super Bowl. It's tough. Washington, start over. Throw it out.
That's good.
Red Hogs. Sort it out.
The R on the helmet. Yeah. And go back. Away you go with the classic uniform.
Bears. I actually think the Bears throwback that they wore last year was pretty close to perfect with the stripes. The little
that
stripes.
One? Uh-huh.
Yeah, I like that one. Not the one that they wore 75th anniversary, but the ones that they had with the stripes.
One, that one looked like a...
Yeah. Lions, person. I think you did. I think they did a very good
nailed
job.
It.
Packers. Nothing to do
nothing
there. Vikings. They're pretty good as they are, but...
So I like the... I would like a modern take on the old Viking where it was that kind of deep purple helmet and the jerseys were actually that deep purple as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I would like the purple people eaters.
Yeah, that's more – yeah, I was going to say that's more like purple people eaters, you know, Ahmad Rashad, that. Because when you get it, Tarkenton, because even what they had with Rande, the jersey was lighter than the hat.
Much.
And I think what Nike tried to do and was get all that to match.
So they just moved the helmet down instead of moving the jersey up.
Correct. Yeah.
Which we would fix.
Yep. Falcons, we discussed. Carolina Panthers should be in all black, quite honestly. They're a Panther. That's what a Panther is black. Helmet should be black. Jersey black.
Absolutely should be a black helmet, and they have one now.
Yeah. But that's,
but
to me,
they have a nice color palette.
They do, but I would use the blue as a trim, and I would use the black as the primary. Yeah. And I wouldn't even, I don't even think you need much silver for them.
No.
I would just go black. Yeah. I mean, the thing that you're named after is all black.
Yep.
Saints. What's their, would you go their iconic? Is it?
The Archies are really nice. With
the Archies are my favorite.
Yeah, that would be my favorite, too. So that's why I said, to me, when I said which one would be tough, they're the first one that popped in my mind, because they're all black under the gold hat is also beautiful. The Drew Brees era, those are great uniforms.
Yeah, and then they have the Bobby Hebert, Pat Swilling era when we were kids, but it's I think the Archies are the best.
In white. So I would maybe go Brees in the
Brees at home.
Archies on the road.
Archies on the road. Bucks, creamsicle.
No doubt.
Cardinals, probably the state of Arizona flag on them is what I think of.
You'd have to go back to the
they should have. What they should have done is just started fresh. They should have. We had a guy on once from Arizona. I remember this, and he said, "I think he was right. I never thought of it in this way." He goes, "I think they should get rid of the bird entirely."
Yeah, it's nothing to do with Arizona.
It's nothing to do with Arizona. They got this bird, which is a St. Louis bird, on the side of their hat. Originally Chicago, but like. There's no reason. If they're going to be the Cardinals, like, fine. But just, first of all, it wouldn't even be hurt probably if they got rid of that entirely. But just get rid of that bird off the helmet. Start over. They could almost start over.
They could have, like, a cool, like, a cactus logo, like a cool Suaru logo, where they and have kind of like a something. You could have, like, a kind of a green. They don't really have a green. The Jets are green and black, but.
Yeah,
you take the Coyotes' name. They're moving to Utah,
right?
Yeah,
name stays. Name stays.
I feel like you could do something cool with that.
You could. You could do that. Well, then Roadrunners is what you actually see out there.
Yeah.
You know, you could do that. You could actually take a bird that is out there.
Yeah.
And go with one of those. But they should have started over.
A javelina wouldn't be bad.
Little pig cruising around.
Yeah, cruising around in the helmet. Better than Major Tutty.
Not going to get a whole lot worse than Major Tutty.
No.
Ram it. I like the Young Bloods the best. Eric Dickerson.
Dickerson, yeah.
These are good, though. I think they did a pretty good job. I don't like that one that's bone or whatever, but the rest of them I think are pretty good.
Yeah. The Kurt Warner era, not the jersey itself, but
the color.
I like the color of the helmet, that dark with like dark blue with the real, it was real gold, not yellow. It was
like
gold.
Vegas gold, yeah.
Yeah.
Problem there is it's St. Louis. The Deacon Jones white and blue
gold,
is really clean,
real gold
too.
Goes well with Los Angeles.
It does. Like I just think that the Niners are great.
Yeah.
Their current is perfect. And Seahawks, I would go a modern version of the Largents.
What they wore against us.
Yeah.
And it's unbelievable.
Yeah. And then I would wear, the Sherman Cam Chancellors as the third.
Sure. Yeah. You got to keep that in the catalog.
Yeah, because that's the.
But outcome. I would do the like all navy ones of those.
Yeah,
the all gray was okay.
I think their white over navy's all right. I think their all navy's the best. The gray is not. I did not like the gray.
And I hated the highlighter.
The highlighter was brutal.
Was terrible.
No. All right, so there you go. You're welcome.
You're welcome.
Solved.
Send a Venmo to us. Thank you.
Get that sorted out. We got hoops tomorrow. Cavs and Magic. Gibby wants to know who's under most pressure in this series for the Cavs. It feels like JB, right?
That's what I said. JB and Donovan Mitchell, right? Maybe not in this series, but if you want to be regarded as a great player, you've got to at least get to a conference finals.
Well, and here's the deal. Like, unfortunately, because of their seeding, that's going to be quite difficult.
Yeah.
But the East has never been more navigable, with the exception of, like, if they could have been the two or the three, which I think everyone was so upset because they weren't able to track that down, because the two is the Knicks without Randall.
Yeah.
The Sixers, Embiid is on one leg. Now Jimmy Butler's done for the Heat. Like, I think the toughest challenge for Boston would have been Miami in the 1-8.
Yeah.
But Butler hurt. I don't know if Miami's got the firepower to hang with them. They'll be the best coach team. But it feels like it's a coronation for the Celtics in the East, doesn't it? Like, if I were to give you Celtics and Nuggets, I'll give you Celtics Nuggets. Or I'll take Celtic Nuggets, you take the field.
I like your chances.
Have you looked at the West? Do you understand what – do people understand what they're headed for from a attention or lack thereof standpoint? Oklahoma City's the one. Denver's the two. Minnesota. The Clippers. I mean, this is tough.
Those are your top four.
Sledding, coach. Tough sledding. The Lakers are the 7, but they play the Nuggets, so they're done. The 8 is going to be either Sacramento or New Orleans. No dubs.
Without Zion, too.
Right. Dallas is the 6. No, Dallas is the 5, and the Suns are the 6. So, like, this could be a debacle. The East will get saved a little bit if they can get a conference final of Sixers or Knicks against
Knicks,
Celtics.
Knicks, yeah.
Either of those two against Celtics would that might save them a little bit, but the West is an unmitigated mess.
Yeah.
They need the NBA
the Bucks,
needs
I feel like could would be an interesting
but Giannis is
Kupo
banged up.
Is hurt again.
That's a problem.
The NBA and I mean you probably watch more of this than any of us, you know. I think they need like Anthony Edwards to average like 42 a game. They need an American-born dude to say, dude, have you seen him play?
It's right now.
Is
it's
he
all,
the most candidate?
It's all Luka and Jokic, so it's not those it's, American.
It's, not,
it's
it.
Not the. We were just talking about it, me and my friends yesterday about. It's weird the era of American basketball that we're about to enter, when Steph.
It's a no man's land right now.
Steph and KD and LeBron all retire. What's left? And it's not, the names are not big. At the moment, unless Ant-Man starts averaging 42.
Well, so here's the deal. What happened was, well, there's a million factors that lead to it. But one thing that they thought for sure would happen was Ja Morant.
Yep.
And Zion. They had that draft
those two guys.
Two of them at the top.
Yeah. And they needed them to be dudes is really the reality of it.
And they have been on the court, and neither one of them have been on the court that often at all.
No. No. And it's a pretty big it's incredible when you think about what Nike has done with signature shoes. The last two guard signature shoes are Kyrie and Ja.
That's wild. I mean, Caitlin Clark might end up being the face of American basketball.
Here's one for you. Caitlin Clark is fill-in-the-blank. Most popular basketball player in the United States?
I'd say top three.
Counting American-born, like American-born.
Period.
Only. Period?
Most popular.
Probably. She's in the starting lineup.
I would say LeBron, Steph, and then she might be three.
I saw somewhere.
Luka's like, pretty popular, isn't he?
I don't know. Is any of it, are 2.5 million people watching him do anything? Unless you're in Dallas?
Yeah.
I saw somewhere, and I got to go back and look because I just happened to catch my eye, and so I think this is legit, but I don't know, that the Washington Mystics.
This is true, what you're going
to
say.
They play in like a 5 to 6,000 seat arena.
Yeah.
And they are moving their game with Caitlin Clark to where the Wizards play.
That is fact, okay. And there are several other instances of that around the league where they're moving to a big venue to support it. So best to our point we're making about the NBA. So best, this is pretty wild, but it's how I thought it would go. Best selling NBA jerseys second half of this season. Number one, Steph. Number two, LeBron. Number three, Jason Tatum. So he's somebody who needs a title. They need him to get a title.
He has the chance.
He's got the chance.
He could be, he probably will be the best American player at some point, but he needs to stop being the playoff choker that he is, because that's never going to help.
And he's like 27, right? 28?
He might be younger than that.
Is he?
Still.
Okay. Victor
he
Wembanyama.
Came in at 18. It's so tough with
yeah,
him.
Yeah, that's true. Wembanyama is 4. Antetokounmpo, 5. Lucas, 6. Devin Booker, 7. Durant, 8. Damon Lillard, 9. Tyrese Maxey, 10. Ja Morant, 11. Joel Embiid, 12. Jokic, 13. Lonzo Ball, 14. Jalen Brunson, 15.
Tatum is 26.
26. So he's younger than I thought. So he's got time.
He's got time. But he needs eight. I think you're exactly
this
right.
This has to be his
to
year.
Win a title. Yeah.
All right. NBA teams up top selling merchandise. Lakers, Celtics,
yep.
Dubs, Bucks, Bulls. How much can you just coattail Jordan 20 years later? It's amazing. Yeah. Sixers, Knicks, Suns, Spurs, Nuggets.
Spurs has to be all Wemby, too.
Yeah.
I mean, that's nothing else.
No. It's they need something to happen.
He's going to be.
They need a guy.
That guy is going to be.
Yeah, but you can't identify with a 7'4 Frenchman.
No. But I mean, he is going to be
like what you know. He is, but it's just it's kind of like Ohtani.
He is an incredible watch, though. Every
he
night.
Is, but it's like Ohtani. Like it's not.
I can't grow up to be that guy.
No, no, no. There's no emulating.
There's no be like Wembanyama.
I could be like Wembanyama. Like,
yeah, they're not going to have any songs like that.
Well,
no, they're not.
You got to build around him, like
that. He is me.
How long is it going to take for them to like? They're not in the playoffs.
No, and it's LeBron was such a comet. Like what LeBron being able to be the face of the league in Cleveland, in our market, I'm talking before he left, like the fact that he was able to punch with Kobe.
Oh my God.
And Kobe was at the Lakers brand and all of that stuff. And he punched head to head with them. And I'm not talking about on the court. I'm talking about in merchandise, advertising, all of it, that he was became a face of the league playing in by NBA standards is an outpost, quite honestly, a mid market. Stunning. Like, I don't know if that's possible again. I don't know if Wemby can do that in San Antonio. I don't know if Anthony Edwards can do that in Minnesota. I don't know if Kobe could have done it if he played his whole career in Charlotte.
It's a good
Would
question.
Shaq have been the same if he never left Orlando? Or did he need L.A. for the – it sucks, but that's how they built the league. I just went over the jersey, the NBA merch.
It's all the big
– Lakers-Celtics, 1-2.
I mean, still, outside of Milwaukee same. And San Antonio.
40 years later.
Yeah.
Still Lakers-Celtics.
Still Lakers-Celtics are the two most popular teams.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just kind of the way that it's been. But I think they got to get to the second round minimum, right, Cavs? Minimum.
Yes.
If you can't beat Orlando, then you got to.
That's it.
Blow things up.
There'll be some problems.
Going to be. All right, we'll whip it. Coming up next, just to Cleveland Browns Daily on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet, now live in Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Hi, welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet, sports betting partner of Cleveland Browns, now live in Ohio. Time for the whip. Hit it, Gibby.
All right, gentlemen. There has never been an NFL draft with more than 19 offensive players picked in the first round. Fact or fiction, that trend will be broken this year, and we will see at least 20 offensive players go in the first round.
I mean, it's a total crapshoot, but it feels like it's really possible, so I'll say fact. I think it's going to happen.
A lot of mocks have upwards of 22 or 23 offensive players.
You're going to have at least...
I said fact.
You're going to have at least 5 quarterbacks. At least.
We'll pick 1 week from tonight.
Yeah, you're going to... Yeah,
we'll actually pick.
You're actually going to get a pick. You're going to have... You could have 6 receivers. I mean, let alone... Yeah, no, I think it's going to be...
Five or six QBs.
You could have 22 without a running back, because the running back's not going. So it's going to be receivers, quarterbacks, and line.
Tight end in Bowers.
So they have 15 players, I guess, going to the combine?
To the draft?
To the draft, I mean. And all but 5 of them are offensive. So that's trending that, yes, that could happen.
Fact or fiction, J.J. McCarthy will be a top 10 pick in next Thursday's round 1 of the NFL draft.
Fact. Plays quarterback.
He plays quarterback, and you have to keep drafting one until you get one.
It's so amazing Minnesota because I think we all talked about all the hype, and is this guy really going to be there on night one, or is he going to be night two? Is he going to be the last guy in the green room? It sure doesn't appear that way.
No, to me it would seem like Minnesota or Denver.
Well, you know, Schrager does his one where he bases it off of everything he's talked to, and he's got McCarthy going 4th with a surprise trade. He actually has
Did you watch him play football?
Giants, huh? Here's the thing with J.J. He was very clutch in big moments. He's a tremendous leader. And my guess is he's crushed these interviews. Like, I bet he's very impressive.
Yep.
Now, he wasn't asked to – what he was asked to do at Michigan is going to be very – like, to me, the perfect place – you said Giants. The place that seemed – like, I would think Minnesota with Kevin O'Connell would be
– Yep.
That would be a chance to succeed. with those receivers, and I think Kevin had moved the pocket for him, and I think he'd have a lot. I think he's smart enough to run the type of offense that, that Kevin loves running here. Back yep. to the back to the defense and whip it and throw, you know, what Purdy's done. I mean, I think he can do that.
All right, speaking of the Vikings. Now, I'm going to preface this little scenario by saying, if you're the Vikings, you only have today to make this deal.
All right.
So we're still 6 days out, but you can only make this deal today. If you were the Vikings and had to make a trade today to move up, would you rather trade 3 first-round picks, 11, 23, and a 2025 first, to pick 4th and guarantee yourself either the 3rd or 4th best QB, or would you rather trade less, an 11, a 23, and a future 2nd-round pick to trade up to 5, but you could potentially get jumped for a QB?
Well, I guess you're playing the, what you're doing here is you're playing a game of chicken with Denver or the Giants. I would not do either one of these because I don't think I'm getting the quarterback I want. If I'm giving up 3 ones, then I'm going to 2 or 1.
Yes.
I'm not, and the Bears aren't going to trade it. Like, I would have offered this first package. Like, if you love Caleb Williams, I'd offer 3 ones for that if you were sure and knowing that there are no certainties. But I wouldn't do any of these things to take the 4th best quarterback.
Well, you might be able to do something much smaller if the quarterback ends up falling to 8.
Yeah.
Like, the quarterback's not going to – Arizona's going to either take Malik Marvin Harrison Jr., or maybe they would trade out, but you'd have to have such conviction that actually McCarthy was your top quarterback to do that.
Which it just seems odd. I just don't think that you would, because you're basically saying you're the only one that has him identified that way.
It doesn't matter if you believe it, and it works
out. It's not a lie if you believe it, Jerry.
I mean, I almost – if Arizona and the Chargers stay where they are, can we agree they're both probably going to take wide receivers?
I don't know necessarily on the Chargers. They might go tackle.
They
should
take
receivers.
They lost Keenan Allen and Mike Williams.
But everything you see on them is that they're not.
You've got to take a receiver.
You got to take them. Like, I'd take the kid at LSU if Marv's gone. Yeah.
So if you're a team looking to move up, you'd be looking. You should be looking at number 6. Like, why would you want to give up more?
Yeah, I would never give up future ones.
I mean, I've seen this a lot with Minnesota, potentially 3 first-rounders.
I mean, I suppose JJ could have that. Maybe there's that much of a discrepancy on what people think about him.
Listen, he's regarded, coming out, he's regarded significantly above Brock Purdy.
Yes, yeah.
And so you could say, okay, if you're Kevin O'Connell in a similar situation and scheme with talent like Justin Jefferson and Addison and Hockenson when he comes back, that why can't we be, and they have what, Aaron Jones now as their running back?
Mm-hmm.
Why can't we be that good?
Yeah.
I don't know. I just.
It's going to be interesting.
It's going to be fascinating to watch. Which NFL team has had the most disappointing offseason thus far?
That's a very good question. My hunch would be Cowboys. They did nothing in free agent. Like, if you, I guess, put yourself in the position of the fan base. If I were a Cowboys fan and I'm running back Mike McCarthy and we did nothing in free agency, that would be pretty disappointing.
So I'd say them, the Broncos. Like, how could this be considered anything positive?
Yeah, you're
paying $50 million for nothing. You're looking like you could be the worst team in the NFL.
Yep. And you have stupid uniforms, it looks like.
Yeah.
There's just bad. When you think about add the uniform part of it, we don't even look all the way right. That's not good. I think it's been a little tough in Buffalo, but you still have Josh Allen, so that's okay.
Buffalo's gotten lost a lot.
They have.
I think Baltimore quietly has had a worse offseason than people.
We did I saw a power ranking. I can't remember if we talked about it on this show last week or earlier in the week. That had their roster, the 4th best roster in the NFL.
Yes, we did.
I think it was on the Ringer. Somebody had them, or the Athletic. Had them at the 4th best roster in the NFL, and I'm going, well, wait a sec, hold on. Do you know who they've lost?
Right.
I understand it's just roster, but like even just roster, that's not the 4th. We were like 15th in it, and I'm like, all right, I understand that you know you're questioning Deshaun's health and all of that, but like. That was nuts. So I think that, I agree. They've lost a lot, man. I don't think Derrick Henry is some sort of elixir for all that they've lost.
Could you put the Dolphins in that conversation?
Well,
they've added some
talent.
Lost
their best defensive player, arguably.
Yeah, with Wilkins.
I don't know.
Be a Raiders fan and wake up and you got Minshew mania. Like, that's tough.
That's tough.
That's a tough sell to me. Yeah, Broncos, Raiders. I'm just looking through the league and seeing who else.
The Giants.
Carolina's tough, but you probably knew that was coming.
Losing Saquon to your division rival.
Yeah, Giants is tough.
And, I mean, you're still trotting out Daniel Jones.
Yeah.
Saquon, I feel like losing Saquon might be addition by subtraction. You're always counting on him. He's always hurt. He's never doing what you expected him to do.
Yeah.
You can make that argument. Absolutely. Final one today on the CBD Whip. Bill Belichick the other day on McAfee.
Happening.
More from him.
LD. Caitlin Clark.
LD.
He got that from
LD.
I think he got it from Caitlin Clark.
I mean, this has been around a lot longer than Caitlin Clark.
You sure she didn't?
By the way, I don't know if things are working out as well for you boys. I don't think it doesn't feel like he got what he wanted out of that scenario based on his recent.
My boy? Boy?
Yeah, your boy.
Why is
your
that? Boy. It's not my boy.
Your boy.
My theory was that he.
He doesn't seem to be acting that way, and apparently it's up in the air there if he's going to keep his job.
Well, that backfired then. Bigly.
Yeah, bigly.
Yeah.
His comments last night was a very.
I didn't hear any of his
comments. He had a bunch of tweets, like, very apologetic, like, over the top. Like,
oh, really?
Sounded like I'm desperate for my job over the top.
All right.
Bill Belichick on the McAfee Show says no NFL draft pick has ever been ready on day one except Lawrence Taylor. Is he right?
No.
Is he wrong?
No, he's not right. Deion Sanders was ready day one. Deion Sanders, in his first game in Atlanta, returned a punt for a touchdown. I bet you Barry Sanders was ready day one. That's probably been a lot of players who were ready day one.
Anquan Boldin?
A lot of them.
He had
a monster game.
Yeah,
first
right
game
out of the gate. The Hoff?
Yeah, Hoff. Yeah, there's a lot. No,
Thomas was second in Offensive Rookie of the Year voting as an offensive tackle in 2007.
Adrian Peterson was ready. Ready to go. There's a lot of guys. Randy Moss was ready.
Justin Jefferson was ready.
There's a long list. Jamar Chase.
Puka Nacua?
Ready.
Yeah.
Ready to go. No, there's a lot of first-year guys ready to go.
Bill might overstep.
Yeah, he loves LT.
Yes.
And I think because we don't associate him with the Giants, it's his way to remind people that, yeah, I had LT.
Adrian
too.
Peterson is a rookie. In 14 games, 1,341 yards, 12 touchdowns, 5.6 yards per carry.
Pretty good. All right. Good job, Gibby. That's your whip. We got a couple of news around the sports world coming up next.
Got some college football news in the last hour.
I did see that as well on the college football side of things. You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet, now live in Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Be part of one of the most passionate fan bases in the NFL. Join Next Gen STM, presented by Ticketmaster. Official waitlist of your Cleveland Browns. Being a Next Gen STM, the best chance to become season ticket members in future seasons. Visit clevelandbrowns.com/NextGenSTM to reserve your spots. Today, the Los Angeles Clippers have announced two important features in their new student section style seating. So this is our guy Ballmer is doing this. This stadium is unbelievable. Season tickets come out to $32 a game. Seating assignments are based on arrival time with the earliest fans
That's outrageous.
Able to sit in row three.
That's outrageous.
He's trying.
Trying. Good
guy's an idea, man. He thrives on enthusiasm.
Yeah, I like it.
Here's the thing. There's nothing he can do to make them the Lakers.
No. No, they got plenty of household names on that roster.
They sure do. And they're still deep in the pecking order.
Yes.
In that town. Deep into it. College football rules that are going to go into effect next season. The NCAA will have a two-minute warning. NCAA football will have a two-minute warning.
It will not be a commercial break, per se.
Good.
They will not punch out.
Well, they did that last year where they eliminated the stop clock stuff. And everyone's like, oh, they're going to be faster games. Oh, no, no, no. They just took more breaks.
Yeah.
Just took more breaks. And for the first time, and this would affect Michigan absolutely, they're going to put microphones and speakers in the helmets. So no more signing
well,
in, which is you've had the technology for a while.
They have it in the high school level.
Stupid signs.
Only college was doing it. It's crazy.
So ridiculous. It's just like, and I spend a great deal amount of time talking about college football and college sports. And the NCAA and the people in charge of the rule, and I guess they still are in charge of the ruling. They're in charge of very little else. But it's almost like they are just like, no, this is how we do it. Just watch us. Would this make the sport better? Of course it would. But this is how we do it. Just like the basketball on the men's side, like keeping it two halves instead of four quarters.
Yes.
It's so stupid.
Yes.
Like just make it right.
Yeah.
But oh, no, this is the way we do it. Did you guys see that? I'm sure you didn't. So you guys are aware that it's now federal law that a student athlete can transfer without penalty whenever they want. Courts have ruled against the NCAA on this. It's done. There's nothing the NCAA can do. So if you go to Ohio State and you want to transfer after spring football in one of the portal periods, you could transfer to Michigan and play next year.
Right.
You play at Michigan for a year, you're like, you know what, this sucks. I'm going to go back to Columbus. You can go back to Columbus and you can play that year.
Yeah.
So in the old days, you could transfer. Correct. You could transfer once in your career, and you had to sit out a year before you could play. So this went to court. They get spanked, so forth. So this happened 6 months ago. Okay. It's a West Virginia case. This week, the NCAA trumpets this new rule change where, guess what? They're not going to be punitive on people transferring. Well, no kidding. You have no jurisdiction anymore, dummies.
Right.
It's over. That's what they do. I mean, this is crazy to wait this long on a helmet thing.
Some of the other new rules. Teams in all football divisions will have the option of using tablets to view in-game video. Up to 18 tablets, great. Not 19, not 17, jeez. 18.
Okay.
Will be distributed on the sideline, locker room, and coaches' booths to study the game broadcast feed. New rules will also allow conferences to all use collaborative replay review.
There you go.
And horse collar tackles within the tackle box will result in a 15-yard penalty. Previously, no fouls had been called for such tackles within the tackle box. I did not realize that.
Yeah. Okay.
Welcome to 2024, NCAA.
Yeah, it's silly. I mean, it's honestly the opposite, because I think some of the pro sports leagues in this country actually have some smart, innovative leaders.
Yeah.
College football has a leadership vacuum and has for a decade plus and has thrived despite it.
Yeah.
Because we really like football.
Because it's really, yeah, and it has scarcity, importance of every game.
Yep.
Other than when you play the cupcakes.
Yep.
But sometimes crazy things happen in those games.
They do. My new working theory is the other sports, NHL, NBA, Major League Baseball, MLS, those other professional sports in this country, that there will be, they've probably already hit their peak in terms of what they're going to make from TV rights, and it'll go down going forward. I think the NBA is bracing for that. I think the others will too. And that their focus will be on keeping fans in seats, because people went. The NBA's numbers, attendance, their ratings in the tank, their attendance was up. Baseball's attendance has been strong. NHL's attendance has been strong despite ratings in the tank. College football's going the other way. They don't really care about if you go to the games or not, to the point of when I first moved to Columbus in 07, you could not get Buckeye tickets.
Yep.
Ohio State in the last 5 minutes just put out a tweet, flex game packaging for Ohio State.
That's crazy.
For all their trash games. So it's the first entire month of the season where they play Kent State. Let me pull it up here just so I have it exactly right since I'm referencing it. All right, here it is. When you said this crazy, that's the correct response. Because in order to get buy a Buckeye ticket at face value, you had to buy season tickets. There was a wait list. You had to donate. Like, it was nuts.
And even
when I first got
like
here.
My friends that went there
couldn't
that donate good sums of money would get one game a year.
Lottery for one game a year. Okay, so this they just tweeted this out 13 minutes ago. All right, so here it is. This is your flex pass. Akron, Western Michigan, Marshall, Purdue, and Indiana. That's five of their eight home games. Are those clown that clown show?
It's bad.
That's the most talented roster in college football. They're playing five clown shows. Probably more, honestly. There's other people that are on
there, because
too.
For some reason they're not allowed to play USC this year.
Well, what their television partner said is Ohio State, we need USC, Oregon, and Washington to lift up some of these also-rans in the Big Ten. We don't need them to play Ohio State to get a 4 million rating. Ohio State will get a 4 million rating against Indiana. So we can put Ohio State, Indiana in prime time on NBC, and it'll get 4 million. Rather than putting Ohio State against USC and getting 11.
I like that.
Me too. But they want more and more. It's the 4 million number that they're chasing. That's the one that they want.
Who are the three good home games this year?
Well, they only have Michigan and they have Penn State. That's it. There's only two.
There's only two good home games.
That's right. They don't play USC until I think 2027.
Right? Yeah.
They don't play them in the shoe until like 2028.
That's outrageous.
They do host Texas next year, but that's not doing them a whole lot of good this year.
So they think what they're trying to do is take.
This is what the Big Ten is doing.
Yes. Ohio State, Penn State, Michigan, USC as kind of like the four pillars, and they just want them playing everybody else as often as possible.
Well, the crazy thing is I mean, I don't know how much we want to get into this, but I'll just tell you this. Like, there's not even any common sense to it. So it's even worse than that, because Michigan plays USC, Washington, and Oregon next year. In addition to playing, they play Texas out of conference. So Michigan, along with playing Ohio State, plays that schedule.
What?
So, yeah. So this is Ohio State's schedule next year. Akron, Western Michigan, Marshall, at Michigan State, Iowa home, at Oregon, Nebraska at home, at Penn State, Purdue at home, Northwestern in Evanston, Indiana at Ohio Stadium, and Michigan at home. It's a joke.
So
the Oregon game's great. That's two top five teams. But outside of Michigan, and then you got to go back to Happy Valley.
So they should be.
Oh, God. Yeah. Meantime, Michigan plays all those.
Hard schedule.
Right. But last year, Michigan had a cake schedule.
Yep.
And this year, it's Ohio State.
Well, they answered the call whenever they had to play real opponents.
They did. They handled it. But that'll be Ohio State next year.
Yeah.
So, but it's brutal. It's absolutely brutal. Meantime, the SEC played the hits. Like, Georgia is playing Texas year one. Alabama's playing Oklahoma year one.
Of course.
Yeah. Play the hits. That's what people want to see. I don't need to see Ohio State.
Ohio State, USC should have been.
Indiana. The idea that Ohio State in November next season goes Purdue, Northwestern, Indiana consecutively, that's laughable, man.
They should have opened the season with Ohio State, USC.
Of course.
Welcome to the Big Ten.
Welcome to the Big Ten. Buckeyes and Trojans. Either
Washington,
LA
Michigan.
Coliseum or at the Shoe. Either one.
Isn't that that's
let
that's
them
a
play
rematch,
early.
Right?
So that way it doesn't hurt them.
Michigan, Washington is a national championship rematch. They are playing next year, just not in the open.
It should have been week one. And USC,
right,
Ohio
back.
State.
Yes. And that way it doesn't
the NFL
hurt you
do.
Or even spread it. Like, you could have USC, Ohio State week three. You know, have one marquee the whole first month. Have Penn State play Washington.
You should be able to have one mega marquee game every week.
And they don't. They don't. Yeah, because they don't have Ohio State playing enough. Well, what they're saying, I guess they are. What they're saying is Ohio State alone is enough to be a marquee. So when they play Marshall, that's a marquee because they're Ohio State. But what they're sacrificing is a 9-10 million rating for a 4 million rating. They want a bunch of four. It's like a doubles hitter, right, instead of home run hitters. They want to hit a bunch of doubles and not home runs. That's their attitude towards scheduling. SEC said, we're going to hit bombs. All right, Denzel Ward from met with the media from earlier. We will have that for you coming up next. You'll see Cleveland Browns Daily on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet, now live in Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
All right, welcome back into Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet, sports betting partner of your Cleveland Browns, now live in Ohio. Now we'll head to the podium. Denzel Ward meeting with the media.
Are you guys all coming back into the building again? And can you just, you know, what's it like to be back, and what do you think that you guys can do in terms of building on what you did last year?
Yeah, definitely. Energy has been great so far being in the building, but I think we all kind of realize that we can't just think that we could just leave off or pick up where we left off from last year, but just got to pick it up and still start over and still get back with the guys and go outside of the practice facility, going out to eat and just still building that camaraderie and that chemistry. And I think that's going to take us a long way again.
On that, Denzel, that last game obviously is not how you wanted the season to end. So how does that motivate you guys to be better this year?
Oh, man, I think that was one of the main reasons why I'm back in this building right now. Definitely didn't like the taste in my mouth from that last game and the showing that we put out there on the field. So I think that's why a lot of guys are in here now, just ready to get back to work, ready to get back to it and work towards our goals that we got in making it to the playoffs and extending our season.
And so what's, as someone who's been through this now for a little bit, just what's this time of year like? You know, coming back, you're in the classroom, you're, in the weight room, but you're not doing stuff on the field that maybe feel like football, but it is football.
Yeah.
What's important about this time of year for you, and what do you get out of it?
Yeah, I mean, it's fun. I mean, off season's pretty long. Like, we're not really with all the guys, and you're kind of just off doing your own thing, training and working out. And then, I mean, right now it's just a good time to come back and start building on that chemistry like I've been talking about. Learning the system again and the scheme and the playbook and just working out with the guys and just building around each other, building that team up and getting ready for the season.
You guys have had a handful of new additions, but for the most part, it seems like this defensive core is back. And in the NFL, since teams are always figuring each other out, I guess how confident are you in, the key guys that you have and that you'll be able to maintain that hunger, so to speak, especially with last season ending the way it did?
Yeah, I think we got a lot of hunger with the guys that we got back, and we got some great additions that came onto the team. And so we're just looking to build on top of each other and just work towards our goals and being great this season.
Was there one thing specifically you kind of zeroed in on and to work on the last couple of months personally that you felt like you really needed to improve on?
I mean, yeah, for me personally, like during the off season right now, I try to build my body up, get my body weight up. So I'm heavier right now. I know I'm going to lose some weight and some muscle throughout the season because it's a long season and just wearing down on the body. So I definitely got my weight up to a weight that I like coming in and just keeping my speed and my power out there. So that's definitely one thing that I focus on this offseason.
So you guys finished, the season, good defense, ranked number one. But where do you think there's areas for you guys to improve and get even better in year two with Jim Jordan?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, yeah, we're number one, but we weren't perfect out there at all. But I think our biggest thing is we were playing fast and we were playing together. And but one of the areas I think that we can improve on is definitely takeaways, getting more takeaways and getting our hands on the ball.
There's been a rule change as far as how you tackle,
eliminating the hip drop. Is that something that as a team and as you individually, you just have to constantly work on? Or is it something that pretty much you can just on the fly?
Yeah, I think you definitely gotta have to work on those things. I mean, when something's being newly implemented into a organization, into a team, you probably gonna have to practice it and change your forms of tackling and just to teach it and just to learn it. So I think it's definitely gonna be something that we're gonna practice. They talked about it a little bit so far since being here in the building that this is a rule change and something that we're gonna have to focus on and not necessarily do so we don't get any flags out there on the field.
You ever do one of those?
No, I haven't. I usually feel like I don't usually tackle like that. I usually just try to come as fast as I can and shoot my shot out there. So, I don't think I'll have any issues with that rule, though.
Do you even know what a hip drop tackle is? And do you get worried as a defender that they're trying to legislate the laws of physics? Because your job is to tackle and get guys on the ground, but they're either changing your strike zone, and now they're telling you can't tackle it in certain ways. Right. So just,
Yeah, I think it is tough because, I mean, the game of football is a physical game and it happens so fast. So I don't think guys do things intentionally to try to go out there, I'm about to try to hip drop or try to hurt this guy on this tackle. But it's just, like I said, it happens so fast that you just try to do what you can to get a guy down, and sometimes you're put in weird positions to where something like that may happen. But I think we're going to do a good job of trying to practice that during practice to avoid those type of tackles and to play clean football. So I think we'll adjust well, and it shouldn't be an issue.
Feeling on the team that that you guys have Deshaun Watson coming back healthy from his shoulder injury this year, and if all goes well, that he'll be your quarterback for all 17 games. What's sort of the vibe on that?
Man, it's exciting. I mean, you guys seen what Deshaun was out there doing before he went out, like that Baltimore game, and just his poise in the pocket, able to stretch the field and make every throw. So just excited to have him back and hoping that his recovery is still continue to go well. And like I said, looking forward to him being our number one quarterback and leading us.
Have you told Andrew which Buckeyes you want him to draft next week?
I have put a little word in about some Buckeyes. I told him we need to get more Buckeyes in here, so I think we might see some. But, yeah, you can't go wrong with any Buckeyes on the team.
You might call one of those?
I hope so. That's a good player coming out in the draft from Ohio State that he'd be a good addition to the team, I feel like.
You mentioned being down there last week and this team being loaded. A lot of those guys would have been drafted. They stayed. Probably the NIL money is probably a big reason why. Just what do you think about the state of things? Right
the state
now,
of what?
With college football, I mean, it's just different than it was 6 years ago.
Yeah, it is different with the NIL and guys able to enter the transfer portal. So it's a lot different when I was in college. We were able to – we just – if you went there, that's the school you were going to. And so it is different, but, I mean, change isn't always so bad. So, yeah, just got to get used to it and see how it plays out.
Are you angry that they're making an NCAA football game after – you graduated?
Yeah, no, I am kind of upset about that. That was, when I was a little kid, that's always something that I want. I was like, man, I want to play myself on a video game. And NCAA used to always do the Road to Glory and play there. So I fulfilled that in getting into the NFL and being able to play Madden. But I'm glad they're bringing the game back. So I know that's going to be exciting for a lot of guys that like to play the game and could see themselves on an NCAA game.
So you're entering year three with you, Martin, Greg, as that kind of core in the corner now, and you're two in the system, I guess. How confident are you guys as a trio? I know Greg normally likes to say more about this than you do, but how do you think you guys have worked together so far, and how confident are you going into this
year? Yeah, very confident. I mean, I feel we're the best corner group in the NFL. I feel that we went out there and showed that, but this is a new year, and we got to go out there and show that again. So, I mean, that's what we're doing now, putting that work in to go out and show why we're the best group, and so that's all it is. It's just getting to the work and then going out there and showing that. But I definitely feel we're the best, though.
Denzel, what did it mean to you guys see Miles finally get that Defensive Player of the Year award? And I'm just curious for you personally. I know that usually goes to a pass rusher, but do you ever think about, like, winning one of those?
Man, I think Miles, he probably could have won Defensive Player of the Year every year. So, no, it's definitely well-deserved. So I was happy for him that he got that. Just a big testament to the work he puts in and what he means to our team and what he's able to do out there on the field. I mean, he's a dominant force, and not many guys could stop him, obviously. You need probably this whole group of audience to stop Miles. But just a big shout-out to Miles and his accomplishments.
The NFLPA survey that gets done every year here in recent years, one of the negatives that Browns players have pointed out was the weight room being in the field house. Now that you come back and you see that they're building a new weight room for you guys to address that concern that you guys expressed, just, you know, what does that mean to you to see, you know, the organization addressing something that you guys pointed out is maybe not being what, you know, you guys would meet your standards?
I mean, it meet my standard. I mean, I don't need much, but I mean, that just shows you the pride and that this is a player-friendly organization. Like, they hear that it's this something isn't going so well, so they make changes and things that they could do to help the players and get the organization running better, anything they could do to help us out there on the field. And I mean, they do that a lot of ways. There's a lot of equipment and machines that's been brought in the training room and everything to help us out. So definitely appreciative of that. But yeah, it's a lot of changes that's being made, and they're in the weight rooms and everything to give us all the resources that we need.
And so when you talk about your cornerback group, how important is it to you to keep that group together, you and Greg and Mark?
Yeah, it's very important. I mean, that was one of the things I kind of been openly sharing. Like, I want to keep us together. I feel like you can, even AB says all the time, you can never have enough great corners and enough corners on a team. And, I mean, that's real. Guys go down, and just having the ability to be able to match up with any teams across the board, whether that's inside in the slot with Greg or outside with me and Martin, and being able to rotate and do different things and having multiple number one corners on the team. So we're definitely in an ideal situation position. And those guys did a great job of drafting all of us and getting us all here. But like I said, we just got to continue to go out and show that we're number one, though.
Have they assured you that all these Greg Newsom trade rumors are nothing and can easily be just dismissed?
I mean, Greg's in the building now working, so I mean, I think so. But I don't know all the behind-the-scenes stuff. But we're all in the building now working towards the same goal and trying to be the best.
Did you guys get a chance to catch up with Kirksey in Hollywood?
Not yet, but I'm looking for. I seen they retire. I was like, oh man, that's crazy. I feel like they could come back for another year with us. But those are great guys. I enjoy playing with as well.
They're still young guys. Yeah. A reminder how quickly this can go.
Yeah, man, that's what I'm saying. It's time be flying. I was just talking to some people. I'm going on year 7. I feel like I just came into the league, so time's definitely been flying, and definitely got to take advantage of all the opportunities that you're given.
I don't know if you've had a chance to really talk to Justin Hardy yet, but just you being a Northeast Ohio guy who gets mm-hmm. to play for your hometown team, him getting to come back here and get that opportunity, mm-hmm. can you speak to like how special that is and mm-hmm. how excited you are to have him here?
Yeah, definitely excited. I talked to him on the phone, actually, with him signing here. So, big Cleveland guy. He's going to be a great addition to the team. He's an ace on the special teams, and they did a great job of getting him here. I think he's going to definitely be a guy that gives us some great production out there.
You talked about the hunger from, you know, the way last season ended. How many times have you watched that game since last season ended?
Honestly, I haven't even watched that game yet. So I haven't watched it yet. I just haven't even got to it yet, honestly. So
you expect to get to it at some point? Or is it one of those things best left?
Yeah, I feel like that game is over with. Like, my focus is going to be more so on the teams that we're going to be playing coming up, and whoever that first game is going to be, that's who I'm going to start watching film on. I do some self-evaluations once I watch the season's film and everything, but I don't know if I'm necessarily going to go back to that game just yet, though.
Denzel, is you mentioned at the top, like, not just resting on the laurels of last year and, you know, a guy's understanding – can't just pick up where you left off. Mm-hmm. Is that like a conversation that's had among the guys in meeting rooms, or is that something that guys just show up and they kind of already understand?
No, coaches, the whole organization kind of been saying that we set a great foundation last year and it was good, but like they've been saying, we can't just think that's automatically going to click and we're going to pick up where we left off. So even though we may, but we just go try to continue to build on top of it and continue to make the necessary steps to build and grow this team.
What's your schedule's coming out probably in about a month or so.
Mm-hmm.
Have you gone down the roster of quarterbacks that you're going to face this year?
Not yet, but I know there's going to be some great talented quarterbacks out there, but no, I haven't checked them out yet.
Obviously, there's a lot of talk about just like the future of the stadium and mm-hmm. where you guys will be playing eventually. You're from here. Just what are your thoughts, I guess, on the idea of the stadium or mm-hmm. maybe playing outside of downtown Cleveland?
Yeah. Oh, that's a great question. For me, honestly, I mean, like I said, I'm a Cleveland guy, so I mean, I appreciate all the history that's going into the stadium that we're playing in currently, and like I said, I enjoy playing in the conditions and having the roof open and everything. But I mean, like I said, but nothing's wrong with change, though. If we end up deciding to move the stadium, I mean, I'd be open to it. I'm just wherever I could go play some football, I'm cool with.
All right, there you go. Denzel Ward meeting with the media from earlier. We've got a little bit of an NFL draft is next week. Take a look at some of the biggest busts that have happened in the draft since 1990. You have that.
Not Jeff George.
Not. You listen to Cleveland Browns Daily on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet, now live in Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Hey, welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, 850 ESPN Cleveland. Time for the Griff Fact of the Day.
Fact of the Day, Fact of the Day, Fact of the Day. It's the Griff Fact of the Day.
Jaromir Jagr just became the oldest player to score in a professional hockey game at the age of 52 and 63 days. He scored in a professional league in his home country of the Czech Republic. He passed Gordie Howe, who previously held the professional record at 52 years and 9 days. Howe, though, still holds the NHL record for oldest person to score a goal.
The Pens retired Jagr's jersey this year, and he participated in the pregame skate with the Pens in his jersey. I mean, that's 90s hockey when he was with Lemieux.
Yeah.
You know,
that's when I was playing long NHLPA, time ago. 93, 94.
Yeah, that's right. I think he could still skate a couple
of
shifts.
Here's my question. Why is he getting credit for what he does overseas from a scoring standpoint?
Well, no, he's not getting credit for the scoring. They're just saying he's the oldest player to play in a professional league. I think he could sign a one-day contract and play in the NHL. Here's the thing with him, there's a little bit of Brady to him. All he wants to do is play hockey. He doesn't really have any other interest. He likes playing hockey. So that's what he's doing.
Yep.
Like, he's got all the money. He made a great deal of money playing in the league. He played for the Caps for a lot of money, the Flyers, after the Penguins stuff is so long ago.
It's wild.
Yeah, but that's pretty wild to be able to do that. Gordie Howe playing in the NHL at 52. Someone was saying this, like, can you imagine showing like somebody from the 80s how the NHL is played now, like the speed of it, how fast the guys skate, how hard their shots are compared to what it was like in like 82, 83.
You remember
watch those guys just sauntering around
when Pavel Bure was the Russian rocket? Like, now they're all Russian rockets.
They are. Yeah, absolutely. All right, we will create our own bust list, quarterbacks drafted since 1990. We're going to do it. It's going to be fun. Cleveland Browns Daily, 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet, now live in Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
This is pretty good. Yesterday, we get done with, had all three of the kids at lacrosse. We get home, NBC goes, oh my God, I forgot my cleats. And I go, it's just like 15 minutes. I'm going, ugh. You have one job. And this started with, at the beginning of the day, me saying like, dude, why are you even wearing the ridiculous Uggs to practice? Just wear the damn cleats to practice. It's a you don't need the comfort.
Right. Yeah,
just wear the cleats, less stuff, right? So my wife and him race into town to go see, and of course they can't find the cleats. Cleats are gone. They're gone. So we send out a note to like the lacrosse thing, and they're like, "Did anybody see any cleats?" And of course nobody says anything. I just got a message on one of the million apps. There was a single muddy white Nike cleat, size 9.5, left at the fields yesterday. Please have yours. It's his. One of his. Where's the other one? Where's the other cleat?
Where's the other cleat?
Where's the?
They come in pairs.
Yeah. Where is the other cleat?
Man.
One cleat. So of course I had to go buy some other ones. Apparently, so I was not pleased about any of this, and I'm not particularly proud of what I'm about to say, but I will share it with you, for the public shaming. Apparently, I was so upset at one point I called him a moron. Now that's not great. I don't like that part of it. My wife brought it to my attention. She goes, "You are aware you call him moron." I think that probably makes sense.
Pedro-esque.
It was very Pedro-esque. This is probably Sorry, bud. That was inappropriate.
Yeah.
I don't think you're a moron. Kind of. Sometimes.
Well, sometimes.
Sometimes. When you leave a cleat. But so, by the way, the fact that one cleat, where's the other one? We found one. Yes. Fantastic. All right. We're doing it. Bus. All right, Gibby. Let's do it.
So Uno came up with this list.
Uno, take
any credit.
Why in the world is Jeff George on this list?
Why is Byron Leftwich on this list? Byron Leftwich is not a bust. Jeff George is not a bust.
In break, I looked at Uno because this was the first time I had seen this, and I said, this is going to be a long 15 minutes for you.
Free little Uno.
Why is Jeff George on this list?
Jeff George I put on there because I thought it was funny he was on the other list.
He
so
was
that
on
one,
the other list.
That one was more of a here's a joke, I'm going to put Jeff George.
Okay.
Yeah.
Byron, when I looked it up, 24 and 26 is a starter. 58 touchdowns, 42 interceptions.
Not a bust.
No Pro Bowls.
Not
nothing
a bust.
Like,
we're talking about the people on this list are busts.
So the point of this that we had was I'm going to find the 20 worst top 10 quarterbacks that I could find over the last however many years.
Oh, is it only top 10?
So you're narrowing this down to the top 10.
I see.
So that's why a guy like...
So all these guys were drafted in
the top
10.
They're all drafted in the top 10?
All of these guys were, yeah.
Oh, okay.
So that's
Dan McGuire on
the
list.
List.
I'm
I
sorry.
You, do.
You really want Dan McGuire on.
And I love Mark McGuire. I love the McGuire family. I was pumped when he got drafted. But if you're picked in the first round and you finish your career with two touchdown passes and 700 yards, like, that is a catastrophic bust.
Yeah.
You should have that in three games, not a career.
I don't have a problem with it.
So he took the same criteria that CBS Sports had.
Yeah.
So that was my task to him after that higher or lower segment we did the other day. I go, find me a list of – get me 20 to 25 QBs that we can narrow down to 10.
Jamarcus Russell's one.
I have Jamarcus Russell one as well. I have Russell one. I have Leaf two.
I think my guy Leaf's two.
We have to eliminate David Carr because that was, remember, the expansion, if you were an expansion QB.
Yeah, I think David Carr, to me, David Carr and our guy, Tim Couch, are in the same boat where,
that's
like, if Tim Couch were drafted by the Philadelphia Eagles, I think he would have been just fine.
Yep.
I would also say you don't have a name on here that I would like to add, which is Achilles Smith.
Hey, he was on my list yesterday.
Give me the. I have a feeling the Achilles Smith career is not long.
I think he's probably number three
or distinguished.
On this list.
He's not on Uno's list.
He's not on Uno's list.
Uno was out there making jokes with Jeff George. 3-14 as a starter, 46% completions, 2,201 yards, 5 touchdowns, 13 picks, and a quarterback rating of 52 for Achilles Smith.
And wasn't he like the number three pick in the draft?
Third.
Oh my God, he was 24 his first year in the league. He played in 22 games,
okay,
17
we're
starts.
Him in. It's a write-in on the
Achilles ball. Smith needs to be in consideration. I don't know if he's three, but he needs
three's
to be.
Three's Trey Lance.
Okay, so I don't know what to do with Trey Lance and Zach Wilson. Because is Zach Wilson a bigger bust than Trey Lance? Just because we haven't seen Lance?
I mean,
Trey Lance
when
now?
When you look into how much the 49ers gave up.
Yeah, with how much they gave three ones for him. Like, Zach Wilson, they just drafted him.
Yeah.
He lost to the last pick. Trey Lance lost to the last pick in the draft in a competition.
They could have had Justin Fields, Tyreek Hill, and Bradley Chubb.
Oh, yeah.
For Trey Lance.
Well, they could have just stayed where they were.
That's what I mean.
Kept all of those people and drafted Justin Fields. Is that what you said?
Yeah, I said they could have had Fields, Tyreek Hill.
Yeah.
And Bradley Chubb. I think he's number three.
All right. I don't have a problem with that. Lance is three.
He's amazingly had no impact on their franchise's ability to be successful.
No, and what's crazy is like, the kid played 1 year at North Dakota State, and they fell that in love with him.
Yeah,
Kyle, an otherwise smart man, fell that in love with him. Lance, three.
Yeah.
Where is – I tell you what, Josh Rosen's got to be on there.
He's in my top ten.
He was not on that CBS list. He's on our list.
He should be in there.
He's on Uno's list.
I think Sam Darnold and Zach Wilson got to be in the top ten.
I don't know about that.
Well, Zach Wilson for sure.
All right, I got
you. I also factor like who were you picked instead of?
I've got I have that. That's why Trubisky's going to be on the list.
Yeah,
I have
for
Achilles
sure.
Smith fourth.
Yeah, that seems fine with me.
Okay.
The other guys I took Heath Shuler.
I have Heath Shuler
should be on the list.
I have Heath Shuler sixth.
He was hot garbage.
I mean. How long did he last? He's now in Congress or something, right?
He was.
Isn't that the same year they also took Gus Frerotte?
They did, Frerotte. They did it twice because they did it with Cousins and RG3,
he was
too.
8-14, 49%, 15 touchdowns, 33 picks, quarterback rating of 54.
How long did he stay in the league?
4 years.
Okay, so he might be fifth. Who do you have fifth?
I had Klingler fifth.
Shuler was third overall. Where was David Klingler?
Klingler was picked sixth overall for his career, goes 4-20 as a starter, 54%. His rating's a little better. We could go Shuler 5 and Klingler 6. I'm fine with that.
So who's five?
Shuler's Keith five. Shuler. David Klingler's six.
I think I have
Klingler was the guy who Andre Ware won the Heisman at Houston, but then Klingler quarterbacked when they went nuts.
Yeah.
And nobody knew how to scout those cats.
No.
So they scored 77 in a game one time. He threw like almost a I think he might have thrown for almost, I want to say like 700 yards in a game one time, Klingler. Other guys that I had, other that we have not mentioned, Rick Meyer.
I have Rick Meyer.
Rosen.
So Rick Meyer was drafted after Bledsoe. He was second pick overall in that one. Other Hoffs drafted in the first round were Willie Roaf and Jerome Bettis. That's it. There wasn't necessarily a quarterback.
Meyer was also Rookie of the Year, so that's
Strahan.
I know
Strahan was in that draft.
I mean, I feel like Josh Rosen's could be seven. He's a top 10 pick. He'd never lasted anywhere. Arizona hated him so much they bailed on a
3-13 as a starter, 12 touchdowns, 21 picks.
Yeah, I mean, I'm willing to put him ahead of Klingler and maybe
Klingler
even
was worse than
Shuler.
He was.
No, I think Shuler and Klingler were worse because Rosen was like the fourth quarterback in that draft.
Yes.
So all it's right, not
Rosen
like,
seventh.
Yeah.
Okay, so he was taken at pick 10. Rosen.
Yeah, so they, like Darnold, Baker, Allen all went ahead of him. So it wasn't like they were like, oh, we love him. It was, you got to take one.
So you like Rick Meyer? Eighth?
What about, are we sure that Darnold's better than Meyer?
So I think
what
so.
What about Mariota? What about Zach
Mariota
Wilson?
Went to the playoffs multiple times. Zach Wilson's going to be on my list.
Should Zach Wilson be eight?
Darnold was like a competent quarterback. Career 60% passer, better touchdown interception ratio.
Well, you can't do the stat thing directly. What I think about
it
is
changes,
like, how long did you get to start? How quickly did they bail on you?
Well, he's maybe
he's still
gonna,
in the league.
Way, and he maybe is going to start again.
He's going to get the Kyle shine, so he gets another shot at it.
In Minnesota.
Maybe in Minnesota. I think Zach Wilson needs to be in this top 10. I mean, that's been an unmitigated disaster. Is he even on that team anymore?
They're trading him. He's staying away from activities. They're trying to find a trader, a taker.
Is Jake Locker, are we giving that any consideration?
So I have Jake Locker's numbers up.
Give it to
me. He played 4 years.
Yeah.
30 games, 57.5% completion, 4,900 yards, 27 touchdowns, 2 interceptions.
And he ran well. Mm-hmm. Locker was better than
quarterback
that.
Record was 9-14, so it wasn't awful.
Zach Wilson, I think, can be on here.
Bortles quarterbacked in an AFC Championship
yes.
game. Blaine Gabbert is still in the league.
Yes. Yeah. RG3 can't be on the list. Danny
Injuries.
Dimes got a $40 million contract.
First guy I looked at with Uno, I'm like, why is RG3 on this list?
Leinart shouldn't be on the list either.
He said RG3.
The problem is there's probably if you keep it to top 10 – then it. One thing I will say about RG3, they give up everything to get him.
Well, and he flamed out.
He's still rookie.
I know there were injuries, but he did flame out pretty quickly in Washington after the shine. It was ended pretty quickly, and they went right to Kirk.
Well, he blew out his knee in year one, and then they had him play with a broken knee because he was a track guy, and he couldn't slide. He didn't know how to slide. Don't you remember him trying to slide?
Yeah.
It was awful.
So I don't know where we feel about injuries, but he's kind of a tough one because of that.
Where was your boy Kenny Pickett? Drafted. He's not top 10?
No, he was in the 20s.
Suck.
All right, I got Rick Meyer at 9. I got Zach Wilson 8, Rick Meyer at 9. And then I'm going to go Trubisky at 10.
Who'd you have number 7?
Rosen.
Rosen.
Wilson 8.
Yeah.
Trubisky. I want Trubisky ahead of Meyer because of who was drafted behind him. And they moved up to get him. They gave up a ton to get him. And it was a Watson Mahomes draft. There was nobody behind Meyer in 93 that you're like, oh, my God, you blew it.
No. Not from a quarterback.
Not from a quarterback perspective. So I think Trubisky's got to go up. He went second overall.
Yeah. You remember that?
And they gave up
a lot. And then he went to a Bulls game like the next night and they booed him.
Well, they didn't. Yeah, no, they didn't want him.
No.
Matt Leinart was taken one pick ahead of Jay Cutler.
Leinart that's an example of somebody who he should have struck while the iron was hot.
Yes.
If he'd gone out after his junior year, he very likely would have been the number one pick in the draft. He had won the Heisman. They had won the national title. He went back for his senior year at USC. You want to talk about how you could have crushed NIL? Him and Reggie
Bush. Oh, my God.
Reggie was dating Kim Kardashian, and he was dating Paris Hilton.
Yeah.
And at SC.
At SC.
Going into their senior seasons.
By the way, that was the 2006 draft.
Yeah.
Matt Leinart went 10th. Cutler went 11th. Mario Williams, Reggie Bush, Vince Young were the top three. DeBrickus, Shaw Ferguson, A.J. Hawk, Vernon Davis, Michael Huff, Dante Whitner, 8th. Ernie Sims, Matt Leinart, Jay Cutler.
That is not a great top 10.
It's a lot of college all-stars. They just, for whatever, like, didn't fully realize.
Alati Noda went 12.
Yeah.
But there is one player from that draft who is still an active player in the National Football League.
Kicker?
First-round pick.
Nope, not a kicker.
The only one from 2006 that's still playing. In fact, DeMeco Ryans was in this draft class, and he is now the head coach of the Houston Texans. Chad Jackson was the second round
pick. Is there an offensive lineman who's still? No.
No. He's an offensive player. It's incredible when you really think about it.
A running back?
No. You'll get there if you keep naming positions.
Sure.
First. Got to be a backup QB.
Wrong.
All right. Go. Let's go.
Mercedes Lewis.
Oh, yeah. He got it. He got it.
Yeah, but you can't, like, take credit. I mean, you were.
No, but he jumped in.
I
tried to jump in right before you said it because it clicked as soon as you.
I believe him. I trust him. I think he's an honest. I think he's honest.
Good pull, Una. Who's number 10 then? Is that Meyer?
Yeah, we'll go Meyer 10.
I mean, those are some busts.
So where was. We didn't miss anybody, right? No, I guess not. Probably not.
I'm trying to look for some of the
top 10 changes it because, like, you think of like
Dan McGuire.
There's Dan McGuire, Jim Druckenmiller, Cade McNown. Where was Cade McNown picked? He wasn't top 10. McNown should be on this list.
He was.
I feel like he was top 10.
99 draft.
12th.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
That's what stuck. Yeah. That was in my mind. Was 12.
Had him right around 10. That would have been the one that
to the Bears.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah.
So he lasted one year.
I watched him. I watched him play.
He lasted
two seasons.
Tim ended up getting the last laugh.
Yeah.
But I watched him play his rookie year at Soldier Field against the Saints. Ditka's return to Chicago on a brutally cold, windy day at Soldier Field.
Yeah.
Old Soldier Field. He could not throw. He could not drive the ball.
Was this his rookie year?
Fluttered. Had to be rookie year or his second year, but he quarterbacked.
At home against New Orleans, they won that game.
They did.
14-10. He did not complete a pass, though, so he must not have started the game, but he did not complete a pass.
In warm-up, just.
Where was Haskins drafted?
He was in the teens. Yeah.
Yeah, he fell. He fell.
I remember, speaking of warm-ups, and may he rest in peace, I remember watching
him. I don't know if you're going to find anybody that
I told you.
Not with the, yeah, you remember you texting 10? Me. I think you have the right. I think we have the right group, especially when you're saying top 10 picks.
Yeah.
I think that
Haskins was 15th. I'm telling you, it's possible that Dan McGuire is the biggest first-round pick bust ever.
It's not possible that he's a bigger bust than Jamarcus Russell. Cade McNown's way up there. Like 2 years? Did people basically say
he had no years, dude?
Yeah, that's
zero years.
He got none.
Nothing.
Like Seattle's like done with him. I don't remember it.
All right, hold on.
I remember him. I remember them drafting him.
All right, so Jamarcus.
All right, you get the details on this.
Jamarcus still threw for 4,000 yards in his career. And like.
All right, we'll get the details on this. So much more to come. In fact, there is. You're going to get the answer to this. Cleveland Runs Daily, 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet, now live in Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
All right, go ahead. Dan McGuire, make your case.
All right, Dan McGuire was the 16th overall pick. In his career, he started 5 games for them. In his career, 52% completion, 745 yards, 2 touchdowns, 6 picks. Like,
does he play a second season?
So he stayed. They kept him through his entire rookie contract. He played 1 game as a rookie, appeared in 2 games as a second-year player, didn't start a game his third year, and got to make a couple of starts his fourth year.
I'm just going
to
present you with these facts. 6 games played, 1 started, 1-0 quarterback record, completion percentage of 40%, a total of 2 years
Who's
in the
this?
League, 1 touchdowns, 4 interception. Jim Druckenmiller.
My question would be, who was he behind? Yeah, Druckenmiller
Gone.
Should be up there.
Vaporized.
Vaporized.
That's worse than McGuire. That's worse.
How many yards?
239.
In how many games?
1 start.
Well, this had 5. This guy had 5 starts and was only at
700
yards.
They saw
yards.
So little in 1 start, they said, get out. We're done.
This guy never got to play.
Next level. Neither did he. Next level's next. Cleveland Browns Daily, 850 ESPN Cleveland.
You've been listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, a production of the Cleveland Browns and 850 ESPN Cleveland.